I came across those words this week and thought, this was even before the violence of the week had unfolded, but thought they were beautiful for our time together. We're going to get to know them a little bit better. Sometimes it can seem really, really dark. It can feel as if the weight of the world is crushing in on us. We may not even know which end is up. And it seems all that we can do is wait. And this is where we find ourselves today. Each year we take a few weeks in the summer to reflect on the created world. We celebrate something called the season of creation. And during the season of creation, we take Jesus' advice when he told his disciples, consider the lilies of the field. You see, Christ himself encouraged those who sought to follow him. He encouraged us all to look at nature for wisdom. Jesus knew that the systems and examples, the habits and habitats of the world around us, they offer us great insight into a life that is in tune with the one who has created us. The lilies of the field and the birds of the air, Jesus says. They were not only wonderful metaphors Jesus could use because they made his point. They were wonderful metaphors because they were accessible, they were relatable, and they are ever present. We see flowers and birds everywhere, and hopefully we then are reminded of God's promise to us. So during this season of creation, we as a congregation will consider the work of our Creator's hands as we watch life unfold, growing from seed to flowering fruit. The imagery of plants is something Jesus used quite regularly in our scriptures. I mean, this goes out because he used seeds so often, right? The sower went out to plant some seeds. Oh, there's the mustard seed. Jesus talks about seeds and plants constantly. The farmer who separates the wheat and the chaff. The vineyard owner who wants to cut down a failing tree. There are a plethora of agrarian examples in our Gospels. This is because Jesus was speaking to farmers and people who grew things. Jesus was the kind of teacher who adapted to his audience. He'd look at who was gathered and he would speak their language. And so often when he saw the crowd in front of him, he knew that they grew things. Now this often can pose a problem for us today. While there are plenty of green thumbs in this congregation, the majority of us are quite separated from the plants and the land that produce our food. This is a societal problem. We have put great distance, both mental and geographical, between ourselves and the harvest that feeds us. I guarantee you, when yours are the hands that have helped grow it, you don't waste so much food. I guarantee you, when yours are the hands that have helped grow it, you think about what it is to share the extra. I guarantee you, when yours are the hands that grew it, you think about what went into it, what its needs were, and how that affects the other things that grow. We've put great distance, both mental and geographical, between ourselves and the harvest that feeds us. Gracing our altar this month as a part of the season of creation are these beautiful, beautiful seeds. I'm just going to bring it down here. These beautiful, beautiful seeds. During the United in Orange food drive back in late January, early February, a farmer in Holyoke, Colorado, donated 30,000 pounds of wheat to the food drive. Now, logistically, this wheat is sold and the money is given to food banks. No food bank needs 30,000 pounds of wheat. But he did this because it's what his abundance offered him. And he donated 30,000 pounds of wheat. So the day after that donation, he brought a bag of unground wheat to his pastor at Holyoke United Methodist Church. And Al, his pastor and my friend, then brought that bag of seeds to me. This is unground wheat grown just a couple hours from here. These little seeds could become bread, they could become pasta, they could become almost anything we bake in our homes. They could also become more wheat. When it shows up ground and in a bag, it's easy to forget that that processed product we use for baking could have also been the start of a new plant if it hadn't have been turned into the flour we know and are so familiar with. Each of these seeds has unlimited potential to produce and reproduce generation after generation of fields of wheat. This little thing, and a hole in the dirt, some water, and a lot of patience, and we would see a brand new plant. And that's what Jesus was talking about in the Gospel of Mark. Our scripture today comes right after the parable of the sower, the one that went out to throw the seeds, and some landed on the path, and etc., etc., etc. This comes right after that parable, and it's a little lesser known. Jesus said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. It's though as though someone scatters seed on the ground and then sleeps and wakes night and day. The seed sprouts and grows, but the farmer doesn't know how. The earth produces crops all by itself. First the stalk, then the head, and then the full grain. Whenever the crop is ready, the farmer goes out to cut the grain because it is harvest time. The seed sprouts, but the farmer doesn't know how." Now, when we hear this scripture, we need to be reminded that the kingdom of God is one of Jesus' favorite topics to discuss, especially in the Gospel of Mark. Now, don't get the kingdom of God confused with the afterlife. Jesus talks about both, but the kingdom of God is a here and now issue. The kingdom of God is the perfect realization of God's will and God's love on earth all around us. Jesus' very first sermon was to tell us that the kingdom of God is at hand. And here Jesus is comparing this kingdom of God to a seed in the ground. Jesus invites us to know God's kingdom by learning from seeds. Which brings us back to where I began the message this day. Sometimes it seems really, really dark. It can feel as if the weight of the world is pushing in on us. We may not even know which end is up, and it seems that all we can do is wait. This is where we find ourselves today, because the life of a seed is not an easy one. I mean, think about it. It begins with this giant drop into a hole in the ground, descending into the depths as all light and presumed hope disappear as the dirt and the darkness close in. And then the seed sits there, the weight of the earth pressing in. Who knows which way to go? Who knows how to get out? Does this sound like the kingdom of God? I mean, this sounds to me like how I felt this week, hearing about Louisiana and Minnesota and Texas. The last week, the last month, the last year or years, I mean, how long into the list do we want to go? It is an extensive one. It seems like the world is falling apart again. Like there is death everywhere and everything is falling apart. Death and falling apart. That's what brought these seeds to us. This pile of seeds, this handful of new beginnings, is the byproduct of some other ending. The wheat that once stood reaching for the sun, waving in the wind, found itself drying up and dying until it fell apart. If one didn't know better, one would think it was over for the wheat. But it's not, nor is it over for us. For this is the heart of our Christian story, new life and resurrection out of death. Jesus tells us the kingdom of God can be found waiting in this world as we know it, as dark and scary as it can be at times. Jesus reminds us of seeds that are hope and possibility. Now, just like the farmer in our scripture today, we may not know how this new life will come. In fact, all we can do is wait. Well, you know, that's not true. That's not true. We have a role to play. Our scripture advises that, yes, the earth is what brings forth the plant, but the farmer still has to be involved with the harvest. The farmer's quite involved. For someone who doesn't really have the insider power to make the seed come to life, just like we can't make God's kingdom appear solely out of our own power, the farmer does need to create conditions where the seed can be successful. The farmer does need to believe it's possible. The farmer does need to keep watch for when that seed breaks through the soil. And the farmer does need to be prepared to gather in something for now may seem uncertain, unknown, and in the distance, but he has to be ready. Yeah, the farmer does not know and does not have the power to force the growth. But the farmer has a lot to do to tend to these seeds and their natural desire to grow. This is God's grace. God has placed within each of us, within all people, seeds of goodness and kindness, of love and joy, of peace and patience, of faithfulness and self-control. These gifts and so many more are within us and within all people. And God will nurture them until we can see them. But once we see them, we must gather them together and do something with them. This wheat is here today because someone saw the product of God's grace, gathered it up, and chose to use it for good in the world. This is a modern day parable for us because it is our call, our invitation. This is our homework. This is our self-work. I want to visit one last learning from the seed today. That description of the seed's existence, the dark, heavy, unknown place, does become far too real, far too often. I think many of us, when confronted by violence and hatred and what seems like irreparable separation in society, can feel this way. Alton Sterling and Philando Castile should be alive. The human separation of racism that leads people of color to be seen, treated, and policed differently is real, it is heavy, and it is overwhelming. So also is the unacceptable reaction of violence that leads a gunman to murder officers Michael Smith, Michael Crawl, Patrick Zarimpa, Brent Thompson, and Lauren Ahrens. Officers who were caring for their community and protecting the rights of protesters to express their frustrations and concerns. Violence has begotten more violence, which leads to heated rhetoric, which begets more heated rhetoric, which leads to vilification and division, which leads to more animosity, which builds the tension and the judgments that lead us to violence. And aren't we sick of this? We don't know which end is up. We don't know where to go. Did you know that seeds don't have that problem? Not knowing which way is up, not knowing where to go. Seeds don't have that problem. Every seed from every plant has within its cells a chemical that is heavier than the other parts of the cell. For those who want to know more, it's called auxin. This chemical sinks or rotates to the bottom of every cell in the seed. Thanks to gravity, it can happen within 40 minutes of a turn or a movement. And once it settles, the plant knows what to do. Plant roots can only grow through the heavy chemical at the bottom, and stems can't grow through it. That way, no matter what happens, the twists and turns a seed takes as it lands itself in this world, it always knows the roots go down and that's where down is. The stem goes up and that's where up is. If you turn a seedling plant or even a grown tree, if you turn it sideways or upside down, all of the new growth from that moment will be in the correct direction. I find this hopeful. If God can make sure a seed knows which way to go, God will bring us clarity and direction too. Clarity and direction, not just for reaching out, but clarity and direction for how to take root and find depth for when things get stormy. But we're going to talk about roots next week. Consider the seed and the life it can bring. Amen.